Well, joining us for his regular chat, it's Mr. Ken Bates. Good morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well.
Excellent. We've got...
Thank you for your phone call.
Plenty to go through today. Let's start, as we usually do, with Leeds United. And, well, there's a bit of pressure coming on Massimo Cellino from the protest group called Time to Go Massimo, and they're urging him to sell up. They've started a campaign where they're sending Massimo Cellino a postcard expressing their concerns. I wonder if I get your thoughts on that, because there were sort of similar things in place when you were in charge of Leeds United.
Yes, I'll talk about that. No, I'll refer to that in a minute. But who are this Time to Go Massimo group? Who are they?
Well, a group of just a group of fans that have got together to protest. That's as far as I can see.
Well, on the internet.
I think they were the ones that put together the sign on the side of the Elland Road Stadium, the fly pass by the plane, and a few other sort of protests at the end of last season.
Now, have they got any money?
That I would not know, KB.
Well, you know, somebody said big mouth, empty pockets. It's all right to have, say what you I remember that great quote from South Pursuit, based in Pursuit in the Second World War. They're trying to persuade this, the Americans try to persuade these Frenchmen to help them. And they keep banging on there. He says, I know what you're against, but what are you for? He can't answer the question. I would say that, okay, we know what you're against. You're against Massimo, you want him to go. What are you for? What's the alternative? What's the solution? They said they have suggested there are three bids in the office. Oh, what about the three bids? Who are they? You know, come on, they come out in the open. Who are they? Name them. Have they got any money? Not that I can't. No, who are they? Are they credible? Have they got any money? And have they got proof of funds that they can do the deal? You were saying, I'll give you an example, that they said when they were doing pressure on me, it was send Ken a pen. So these bloody bios kept arriving at my apartment in Monte Carlo, which we then gave away to the kids on the beach, got them out of the way. But the thing, that was caused because GFH, who were, of course, lying in their teeth, to say, I wouldn't sign the contract. The fact of the matter is they'd never produced a contract. They were delaying it and delaying it and delaying it, the Arabs, because they hadn't got the money, which was subsequently confirmed, of course, by David Hay. They were scraping up money here, then everybody would try and buy the club. Of course, because they were a big, influential investment bank in Bahrain, and the managing director was a son-in-law of the governor of the Central Bank of Bahrain, except that he couldn't breathe a contract. So we'd never have a contract to sign, which is why the pen was a waste of time, couldn't use them. But this the situation here. So this Time to Go Massimo group, they get their finger out, and so they're just chanting silly chants and doing stupid actions which nobody takes any notice of anyway. And once you've done it, it's over. And life goes on. The first thing is, get the story straight, do their homework. Where are the three bids? And I'll put my neck on the line now and say, I don't believe there are any credible bids. When I was negotiating on behalf of a consortium to buy Leeds, Gerald Krasm said, we've had so many messes, proof of funds. I said, here, get your bank to ring this bank. Came back 2 hours later, he said, he's got the money's there, it's in the bank. So that's very easy. People want to buy Massimo out. First thing Massimo's going to say is, assuming he wants to sell, of course, or he's willing to listen to offers, first thing he's saying, well, show me the money. Don't waste my time. Then we can discuss it further. Meanwhile, of course, all this Time to Go Massimo, same time the club's just bought bottom relegation in the league. That's early days yet. And these people want him to spend more and more money in the club. Well, why should he? Where's the incentive? Where's the incentive? And what are their plans? Oh, get into a premiership. Yeah, okay. It's sooner said than done. We need stability at a club. Because apart from anything else, think about this. You promote a good player and you want him to join you. Well, the player, if you've got a decent agent, looks at the club. We check who the chairman is, see what's going on at the club. Do you want to join it? Good players won't join clubs in disarray. If they have an alternative, they go somewhere else. So they are perpetuating the club's weaknesses by their stupid performance. I'm not criticising dissent. It's a free country, it's a democracy. But the important thing is to have a reasoned, intelligent debate. Not those idiots who did that performance on City Airport yesterday, closed the place down for 12 hours. Was it like Black Lives Matter? Well, I've seen at least three of them are whites anyway. And what do you think they've proved? But they upset an awful lot of ordinary people's holidays and business arrangements. I hope they go to jail. And I hope they're not released on bail. I hope they're kept pending prosecution. That's these are buggers. And we'll continue to give them high profile, which probably isn't what they want. While they're living on their benefits. But coming back to this, fans who've got no, or so-called fans, at the time to go Massimo group, they've got to have their own plans and their own plan of action. And then they can offer credible alternative to Massimo. Otherwise, you won't waste your time. Remember, what was it, Leeds, LFU, Leeds Fans United? They got commitments of £500,000. And as I said to Mr. Trait at the time, how much money have you got? He said, we've got commitments. I said, I didn't ask what commitment you got. How much money you got in the bank? Turned out they had very little. So, unless they, you have to start off by justifying, proving that you're a credible group, well-financed, all properly organised. And if they got the free bids around, free would-be buyers, tell them to come out. I remember one time, when Leeds went into administration, and the Yorkshire Evening Post was... there was one guy who used to live in Leeds, they're now living in Las Vegas. He was going to be going to make a bid. And he's got to be a former boxing... World Boxing Champion, I was the training coach. Of course, good lot of headlines, sold newspapers, no, not a heap of the truth in it. And he was the taxi driver living in North Leeds. He was going to make a bid for Leeds. He had a couple of pages in the YAP for a couple of nights and never heard from him again. We got other idiot. He's a rugby league player or something, or sports rugby league. Anyway, it comes from New Zealand. He's a massive Leeds supporter. And he was contemplating buying Leeds. I think he was promoting a book or a film at the time. After that, so he got good publicity. Never heard from him again. But the other more interesting thing is at one time, Neely Parkin, Steve Parkin of Clipper Group, Clipper Logistics, if you remember the last thing, although he has invested in the club by way of advertising and sponsoring the two stands, he claimed he was interested in buying, and then he finally pulled out and he said no, and the reason he gave was, he said that what I don't want is we Leeds lose on Saturday, my children get abused at school on Monday, and I don't want to take the risk and spoil their lives. That's where these abusive people forget. And that multi-millionaire American one that I had, who was going to, even in December 2012, he was going to come in, and he'd actually deposited £12 million in his lawyer's client's account with instructions to release the money as extra share capital into Leeds when he gave the instruction. He came as to celebrate our agreed deal. He came to Elland Road, watched one of the home games, saw those idiots make so much noise and abuse. He said he enjoyed the game, shook hands and went. Never heard from him again. Pulled the money out of his loiter. And I got contacted to one of his right-hand men. He said, Ken, he doesn't want that kind of crap. Doesn't want to be involved in it. Doesn't want to stand on this. Doesn't want to stand on it. Listen to it, even if it's being subjected to his would-be partner. So he had the money lined up to buy the ground. He was going to buy £12 million worth of shares. New shares, the money was going to the club, not in my pocket. And then he had an option to take a control eventually as I retired. And this man, I mean, I know he has. I visited his vineyard in Cape Town. We came back on his private jet on one trip from Venice. He'd been to Albania, where he had a big investment. Flew in, picked us up, we had lunch, then flew back. He had the money, and he was 35, I think. He was a dynamo. It was a real loss for Leeds. All because of these mindless idiots who are shouting and bawling, thinking they're so bloody clever, what I call the Twitter generation. They're not coherent. You can't put two words together, can't speak a sentence. And it's damaging Leeds United, and if it carries on, it will destroy Leeds United. But the real villains, I'm sorry, are the ordinary fans who don't, but are quiet. They should shout these lot down and tell them to shut up and go away. Don't go and say, well, Guiseley or some other club and stay away from Elland Road. Because they're not supporting the club. Because they're real, so well, they wouldn't do it. There's idiots with time on their hands.
Well, KB, moving on to other news and some breaking news in the last week because Franz Beckenbauer's house was raided on Thursday. He became a suspect in the World Cup fraud case involving money laundering and the misappropriation of millions in cash.
Well, I've always said that FIFA was a criminal operation. And over 20 years when I was on the when I was an FA councillor, then something on the management committee and then something on the board. I campaigned then that we should break away from FIFA and leave them on their own. We don't need FIFA. In our opinion, it was a corrupt organisation from beginning to end, from top to bottom. And I'm surprised about Beckenbauer, but on the other hand, as we've seen with Mr. Vaz in another matter this week, you don't know what really... don't know who people really are until you really get to know them. Even then, you still get a surprise. Well, I do know that a friend of mine was organising a celebratory 50-year anniversary dinner. That's when the World Cup in 1966. And they invited Beckenbauer to come along as a guest. And he demanded a fee for it, as did Bobby Charlton. Neither, of course, were paid the fee, and neither of them came along. But there you are. We don't need FIFA. How have Qatar got the 2022 World Cup? And how has Russia got the 2018 World Cup? Where their drugs are institutionalised and government run. But I hope they are all finally investigated. I hope it's about time Switzerland got on with it and preserved their Swiss good name. And let's hope every bugger involved goes to jail and has all their money confiscated. Then perhaps we can get on. We don't need a FIFA. All we need is a loose association of regional FAs.
Well, also in the news this week at KB, Prime Minister Theresa May, she rejected the points-based system for controlling EU migration, which was one of the key promises of the Leave campaigners during the referendum. But she's denying that they've gone soft on migration. And, Brexit means Brexit. So.
OK, well, precisely. She said, obviously, let's examine that. some of these points system, and as I was, she didn't commit herself to the point system. That was one of the things being held up as an idea. The trouble with the point system, once you achieve the relevant number of points, you're automatically allowed in. Now, to put it very bluntly, that wherever there's a human-operated system, which is based on just opinions, judgment, there is room for corruption. Who's going to adjudicate on the points? How much is a point worth? £500, £1,000, £2,000? So you're leaving yourself open to corruption. And you're leaving yourself open to the individual civil servants who are not subject to public scrutiny, making decisions. That means they can come in and pick up the benefit system straight away. Now, what the other thing, what Australia do, of course, is if you're an asylum seeker, they don't let you in. If you try to get in, they dump you on a desert island about 500 miles away, and you're incarcerated there for months, sometimes for years, until your case is sorted out, and you're allowed in or rejected, as the case may be. And they're in no hurry. Now, interestingly, what crossed my mind this week, again, listening to Lady Sturgeon, banging on in favour of immigration. Well, why don't they take over the Isle of Skye, for example? Because the Scots said they're favour of immigration. So all the immigrants that come into Britain in future, we dump them on the Isle of Skye with naval boats protecting it while we process them. Now, if we process them, we let them into Scotland because Mrs. Sturgeon says Scots need immigration. So we've solved it. But devolving power to the Scots, they have the power to have all the illegal immigrants and asylum seekers they want. But meanwhile, they're in the Isle of Skye or some similar Isle of Mull, some similar place, out of the way. But no. What they're still can... The May government are still considering the options, ways of doing it. One that's come up is you've got to have a job. And if you have a job to go to, and you speak English, very important, then I don't see that as a problem because you come in, you don't get any benefits. You go straight to the job you've got. And they say, oh, well, how do they get a job? Well, if that was the system, reputable companies would either open up their own recruiting agencies or reputable recruiting agencies would open offices in different countries where they would sort out these jobs. But of course, to avoid dodgy jobs which don't exist, the employer first of all would have to show that he has this vacancy and he's going to employ the person for a minimum period of X years and be criminally responsible for not doing so. Then the immigrant comes in with his job, properly qualified if appropriate, goes straight to his job, settles down, gets on with his work and integrates. And that is one alternative. There may be others which then, but again, as Theresa May says, she ain't going to reveal her hand. These idiots, including Corbyn and the SNP, who are the lowest form of parliamentary party I've ever watched performing in all my years. Seven times they asked her yesterday in Prime Minister's Question Times what were the things that we were going to ask for. Well, she said, you don't show your hand when you negotiate. If you're playing poker, you don't put your cards on the table and start playing. Of course you don't. And these people know that, if they've any intelligence. So they're merely mischief-making and wasting time when Theresa May could be getting on with running the country, instead of asking these stupid questions. As she said at the end, you've asked me the same question seven times. I'm very patient to give you the same answer. So either pay attention. Is this one? Don't ask again. And there's plenty of other things for the May government to do. One is the junior doctors would be strike, which they've now cancelled, the first one anyway. Save our NHS. Save our cash-strapped NHS. The NHS isn't cash-strapped. You've got plenty of money. They're spending it on the wrong things. We had this terrible scandal of over 1,000 deaths occurred in the Southern National Health Trust that weren't investigated properly. There was such a fuss about it, the chief executive, a woman, was forced to resign from her £240,000. £240,000 a year for being in a minute, pushing bits of paper around. 1 3/4 times the amount that the Prime Minister gets for running the country. Nearly four times what Jeremy Corbyn gets for being the leader of the opposition. It's a disgrace. So rightly, the woman's resigned. Quit her job voluntarily. Oops, not quite. She's popped up in another position, another office, in the same building, the same National Health Trust, at the same salary. Now, the chairman of that trust was on TV yesterday explaining it. Well, he didn't explain it. Made himself look a bloody idiot. He admitted there wasn't a job they created especially for her. They hadn't advertised the post. They hadn't interviewed anybody else for the post. And she's moved into it for her undoubted skills and prowess. What, in doing what? Doing a good deal for herself. At the same salary, £240,000. And all these administrators in all these hospitals and so and trusts earn fortunes. And they're the ones that the National Health Service should be cutting down on, probably getting rid of 20% of the administrators and cutting the salaries of those that remain. He said, it's all front line. Same with the police. Oh, we're going to lose only ambulance. We're going to lose X ambulance crews. We're going to lose X number of bobbies on the beat. Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, the police... Chief of police is driving around in his BMW, probably chauffeur driven, getting all kinds of things, going on jollies and conferences and meetings and that kind of crap. That's the thing they should be cutting out, not the people at on the front line. But it's jobs for the boys, isn't it? Cheers, chin chin, another gin and tonic at the club. And again, this junior doctor's strike, all this save our NHS, what that's it. They don't put out facts. They say it's not pay. But the little I've read is the junior, under the proposal, it's going to be imposed on them, the junior doctor's going to work at weekend but not be paid so much. But against that, they're going to get an 11% overall wage increase. And this contract that I'm moaning about was signed off in May, endorsed by the BMW, by the BMA, as being fair. Now, the same people... So it's not fair, so we're going to strike. Of 55,000 doctors, they haven't held a recent poll, and the last poll they used to justify the strike, only 17,000 voted, and 55% of those voted in favour. So if those figures are correct, and money quoting what I've read and heard, less than 8,000 doctors out of 55,000 have voted in favour of this strike. But the other thing, when you become a doctor, it was a hypocritic oath that you'll put everything in front of your patient in front of everything. I'm now calling it a hypocritical oath. Also, having said that, watching some of those idiots performing and prancing about in the street waving banners, would you want somebody like that to look after your health? I think you'll sooner get a bottle of cough mixture, some antiseptic cream and hope for the best. And, of course, the BBC, who's run by the Guardianista, of course, had this big debate yesterday. Hardly anybody speaking for the other side. It was all moan, groan. And when they came up, they still didn't give you proper answers. It's the mob, the same mentality as you've got in Time to Go Massimo. A lot of problems, a lot of challenges, not problems, a lot of challenges facing this country at the moment. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the challenges instead of the nonsense.
Well, a nice way to finish up our chat this week, KB. And, well, we'll chat again at the same time next week.
Thank you. When I will solve Hinkley Point Power Station. But I give you, just to give you food for thought on that. If money is now so cheap, why aren't we borrowing it ourselves and building our own power stations and not being held to ransom by foreign designers, foreign builders, foreign financiers, and allow the Chinese to see our nuclear designs? Do us a favour. Thank you. Have a good time, listeners. Don't forget to watch our other programmes, which are far more interesting than this one, including Proper Sport. And I gather we're going to try and get more people on Radio Yorkshire and TV Yorkshire from Yorkshire to pontificate and discuss events of the day, particularly those concerning Yorkshire. So thank you, Darren. And as you say, I'll speak to you next week.